I wanted to share this story so that it will serve as a reminder to always follow your gut. Don't ever assume that just because you're in your own home and you get a strange feeling that you're just being paranoid. I'll give you an example. Several months ago, right as autumn was beginning and the days were becoming shorter, I was home alone at the house I shared with my roommate. Seasonal depression sinking in, I decided just to stay inside and have a lazy evening. I was on the couch, flipping through Netflix, when I got this overwhelming sensation that something wasn't right. It wasn't just a feeling of guilt or doubt because I wasn't being productive. It actually felt as though the world around me wasn't in perfect alignment, like something was out of place. It's the feeling you get while you're driving, and one of your tires is slowly deflating. Unable to shake this feeling, I stood up, shut off the TV, and headed upstairs, not turning off any lights on the ground floor. Once upstairs, I turned on the hall light and entered the bathroom. I didn't feel like I was being watched necessarily, but I did feel this sense of invasion. I got some music playing on my phone and decided that I was going to take a shower, determined to distract myself and shake off this feeling. If I had had any pets, I would have looked to see how they were acting, but I didn't. I could only go off of how I felt, and I chose to ignore the feeling of unrest. Before I was done taking my clothes off, I thought I heard movement from downstairs. I muted my phone for a moment, but the noise didn't come again. I figured I was either hearing things or my roommate had returned home early and was downstairs. I didn't think for a moment that some stranger had entered my house. That's the type of thing that happened to other people. I forced myself not to think like that. I knew that all my doors were locked and I lived in a safe neighborhood. That's what I kept telling myself. I turned the shower on, finished getting undressed, and got inside. I stayed in the shower longer than I needed to. Being in there helped, but it didn't completely calm my nerves. As soon as I turned off the water, the feeling of invasion was back, and suddenly, I decided that I needed to be very quiet. I stepped carefully out of the shower and turned off my phone. It was then that I noticed under the crack of the door, there was a shadow of someone standing just outside, and the only thing standing between me and that person was an old wooden door and a latch lock that anyone could break if they threw their weight into it hard enough. I stared down at the shadow, and finally I allowed myself to panic. Had it been my roommate or a family member with a spare key, they wouldn't be standing that still. They would knock on the door and announce themselves if they needed anything. I didn't even hear anyone breathing. A scenario flashed through my head of me not noticing the shadow, throwing open the door in an obvious fashion, and having a knife driven into my gut as I fell into the arms of a masked stranger. I slowly put on my shorts and my shirt, and just stared at the shadow under the door, still unmoving. After another moment, I made a decision. I slowly began to open the bathroom window. I flushed the toilet and lifted on the wooden frame. I then stepped up and then hung my legs out the window. As I was sliding out fully on the roof, my head knocked against the blinds and made them rattle. I swear, in that split second, my heart stopped, and I heard movement from outside the door. I leapt out the window right as I heard the door crash open behind me. When I slid across the roof, I immediately let myself fall to the cold ground. I picked myself up and sprinted across my lawn, without even bothering to look back to see if anyone was chasing me. I ran to my neighbor's house, pounded on the back door until they let me in, and I called the police from my phone after they locked the door behind me. When they got there, they searched my house and discovered that it was empty, but inside every single room they found evidence of footprints and signs that someone had been rummaging around through drawers and personal belongings. The intruder had been wandering from room to room while I was in the shower. Outside the living room window, they discovered very specific DNA that indicated that he was watching me as I was laying on the couch. This guy had patiently waited for me to leave the ground floor before entering the house through the back door. He then waited for me outside the bathroom when he could have easily broken in and grabbed me. There was 1,000 things that could have gone wrong that night. I could have ignored my gut feeling. The intruder could have been less patient. I could have shut lights off behind me. He could have waited down the hall instead of outside the door. I really believe that I had 1 in 100 chance of getting out of there, and I rolled the dice and beat the odds. I should be dead. I have no idea who that guy was, or why he chose my house, but I do know one thing for certain. I will never doubt my gut feeling again. Please take this to heart, everyone listening. Try to always be aware of your surroundings. Play it safe even if it feels silly, and never ignore your instincts. All throughout the mid to late 90s, I spent my time alternating back and forth between my parents who had divorced when I was 6. During the summer, I preferred staying at my dad's single-story ranch-style house in a quiet cul-de-sac as opposed to my mom's place in the city. My dad's place was much quieter and had a better feeling of privacy with its big fenced-in backyard. During the warmer months, I would enjoy sleeping with my window cracked open and my fan on. In the city, it was always too noisy to have a window open at night. I remember at the time, my dad was usually working late and would arrive home around 8 p.m. or later. So the majority of the day, I was alone. I would spend my time on my dad's computer, using the dial-up internet. Back in those days, if you wanted to use internet, you had to keep in mind that you were sacrificing your ability to use the phone. You also had to sit at a desk all day when you surfed the web. On this particular day, it was getting pretty late, and I had been sitting for a while, so I decided to get up and make myself a snack. The sunlight was fading outside, and it was just starting to get dark. But I didn't turn on any lights as I walked down the hallway and turned into the kitchen. Using the light from inside the fridge, I began to shuffle around looking for something to make a sandwich out of, when I heard something that made me pause. Back inside my room, I had a lamp on my nightstand that had these tiny charms hanging from the shade. Whenever I went to raise or lower my window, the nightstand would shake, and the charms would make tiny wind chime type sounds. I was used to the sound, but I had never once heard it from outside my room, because I was the only one who ever touched my window. And for such a small sound, I was surprised how far it traveled. There was this animalistic moment where my entire body froze, and I felt my sense of hearing dial itself up to 11 as I strained to catch every small noise coming from my room. I heard a couple of footsteps on my carpet, some muffled voices, and I heard the creak of my door opening. I let the fridge door swing shut and rushed over to the back door, but as soon as I opened it, I paused. Out the back door led to our screened-in back porch, which led outside to our fenced-in yard. Going through the screen door would make way too much noise, and whoever was now in the house would be able to catch me before I was able to unlock the gate to exit the backyard. I would have to run back towards the intruders to get to the front door, so not knowing what else to do, I ducked into a small closet right next to the fridge, where my dad kept the vacuum. There was barely enough room inside for me to stand up straight, and I knew that if they happened to open the door, I was caught. So I kept my hand on the doorknob to hold it closed. I heard two sets of footsteps walking down the front hall, and suddenly somebody was in the kitchen. He wasn't even being cautious. He was just sauntering around, opening cabinets and drawers like he belonged there. I heard him open the fridge right next to me and knock a few things around inside. I heard an annoyed voice coming from the hallway.
"What the hell are you doing?"
The second voice responded.
"I'm starving, man. I haven't eaten all day. Get the fuck out of there,"
the first voice snapped. The fridge door shut abruptly, and suddenly there was a tug on the handle of the closet I was hiding in. I tensed, and I held the door latch firm. All the guy had to do was pull on it hard, and I would have toppled right onto the floor.
"Hey, this one's locked."
The voice came from right outside the door. As soon as I heard it, I knew I was done, and I mentally prepared myself to be kidnapped or murdered. The second voice came again over by the back door.
"Hey, did you open this?"
"No, why?"
"Then somebody was just here. They must have run out back."
I heard both of the intruders run out to the back porch. I could have taken that moment to run, but I was shaking so hard at me nearly getting caught that I didn't trust myself to try and take a step. I thought about trying to go for the cordless phone on the counter, but I remembered the dial-up internet was still using the phone line. After another few moments, the two men ran back into the house and made for the front door. I heard the front door unlock and swing open. They hadn't been out of the house for more than 5 seconds before I heard a police siren wailing as it drove past the house. Turns out my neighbor had spotted the two men walking around outside and called the cops as soon as she noticed them opening my window from the outside. They were kids themselves, really. One was 18 and the other was 19. My dad arrived home shortly after, and we ended up staying at my aunt's for the night. I was incredibly shaken for the next several days, and the smallest of noises made me anxious, and I was too afraid to be alone. Looking back now, those two kids likely would have taken off running if they had found me. They didn't even have any weapons on them. But at the time, I didn't know that, and the experience traumatized my tiny 11-year-old mind. Who would have thought on a quiet cul-de-sac with houses surrounding me on all sides, and the sun not even completely gone, that my house would be invaded? The city may be noisier, but at least at the time, it was safer. My friends and I live in the hills of Moville, Northern Ireland. Last year, the four of us were walking along the cliffs by the seaside and arguing about Conor McGregor, when my friend pointed out a row of power lines running up away from the road and further up into the trees. Had we not been thrown out of the pub we normally frequented the previous night, we probably would have just headed right back into town for a drink. But given that we had nowhere better to be, we decided to try and find out where exactly these lines led to. The area we were walking was extremely rugged, and the closest thing to a road that led through the trees was two tracks of flattened ground where vehicles had clearly passed before. We walked deeper into the woods, half concentrating on the power lines and half on the wheel marks, just making dull conversation and not expecting to find anything interesting, until the wheel marks just ended. The power lines fell off the last pole, a few yards beyond where the wheel marks stopped, and kind of wound their way through the tree branches. To clarify, they weren't broken, just kind of awkwardly placed across the tree limbs, which I had never seen before. My buddy wandered deeper into the trees and discovered a 6-foot-tall wire fence encircled in a small clearing with a 2-story stone house sitting there like a lost heirloom. We circled the fence until we found the gate, which was carelessly hanging open, and we walked right up to the front door. Privacy and common sense were not present. The first thing I noticed was that there were security cameras mounted outside the house, pointing in various directions, and I considered what kind of person would go through all the trouble of setting up cameras just to leave the gate open. It didn't end there. The front door was open as well. The four of us walked right inside like we owned the place. I hesitated in the entryway, while my friends immediately split up to look around. I went to shut the door behind me and spotted 4 deadbolts on the inside frame. And suddenly I had a very strong feeling that it wasn't right that we were all just trespassing here. One of my friends found one of those metal detecting wands on the kitchen counter, like the ones you see TSA agents using in airports. And in a back room, another friend found 2 backup generators. Despite them being there, it was obvious the power hadn't been working in the house for quite some time. The whole place smelled musty, like the outside forest had invaded it with its cold, earthly scent. I asked if it was possible that this was a secret military base of some kind, but one of my friends pointed out that there was no weapon cabinets, and there hadn't been any checkpoints outside either. I wanted to leave, but the others decided that they wanted to search upstairs, which turned out to be one giant room. There was a cot in the corner, but most of the room was occupied by a long table, with chairs and a flat-screen TV mounted to the wall, which I presume was meant to view the footage from the security cameras. While the other guys dug through the drawers looking for anything interesting, my friend Eamon started fidgeting with the flat screen, like he was going to take it down off the wall and carry it under his arm over the hills the whole way back to his own place. The whole time I just stood by the steps impatient and ready to leave. I was starting to get the sense that this place was some very paranoid person's hideaway, and that he may have left in a hurry. This house was very much hidden away where no one would think to look. I admired the view from the window, where I could just make out the sea through the trees, and then I turned to head downstairs, and that's when I froze. There were black marks, like ash, staining the carpeted stairs to about the halfway point, That definitely had not been there when we climbed the stairs. I spoke aloud.
Whoa, wait. How?
And then the smell hit me. There was a burning fabric scent in the air that washed over me, and I immediately coughed and started panicking. I hesitated for a moment before rushing down the stairs, keeping as close to the sides as I could. And then I went right out the front door without looking back, my friends following close behind, each of them making remarks about the sudden burning stench in the air. I asked if anyone had tracked the ash on the stairs, but I already knew the answer. Not only had none of us tracked marks across the carpet, but none of us had only gone halfway up the stairs. I suddenly had the horrific thought that someone else had been in the house with us the whole time. We immediately left the area and headed back to the coastline. Halfway back, we heard a loud roar from behind us. It could have been an animal, but to me it didn't sound impartial. It sounded infuriated. I decided that I didn't want to be involved at all after that. But a couple of my friends went back a few days later. They told me that there had been a burned spot directly outside the entrance to the stone house, and when they sifted through the loose soil, they had pulled an entire Ouija board out of the dirt. Sometime later, I talked with another friend of mine about it over a couple of beers, and he told me that he had heard rumors that there was a group of psychotic people who lived out in those woods, and they believed in things like ancient curses and demonic possession, and that they were known to be violent towards outsiders. I don't know what was going on in the house that day, but I feel like we were very lucky that we didn't encounter anyone while we were there, and that we all made it out in one piece. I used to work as a haunted house technician at Busch Gardens in Williamsburg, Virginia. During the months of September and October, the park would put out an event called Hollow Scream. The park transformed into a massive Halloween-themed experience, with multiple uniquely themed attractions, such as vampires, zombies, and clowns. The haunted house that I worked at was called Fear Fair, which consisted of a maze that branched in between several buildings and tents. I was there to maintain the maze and fix anything that broke over the course of the night. Sometimes the guests would punch our spooky decorations out of fear, or tripped over each other and knocked over some lights. It kept me pretty busy. While the maze was open, I was normally just out of sight making adjustments to the audio and checking in with my coworkers on my walkie-talkie. One Saturday evening, there was a heavy downpour, which deterred much of our potential business. I used the downtime to work on the wooden frame that served as the entrance to the maze. I placed a sign across the line entrance stating that the maze was temporarily closed, and then I got to work. After a few minutes, I left to go pick up another tool I needed from the maintenance shed. And when I got back, I noticed someone strolling around, walking down the tunnel deeper into the maze. He was a young man, maybe in his late teens, with a dark complexion, long braids, and was wearing a dark blue tank top. The only way in was past the sign. So I was irritated, not only that he was trespassing, but because I had disassembled part of the wall, and if anything had tipped over or fallen, he could have been hurt. I called out to him.
Sir, we're not open yet. Did you need help with something?
Up until that point, his back was turned to me, and when I called out, he visibly jumped. And I couldn't help but think, geez, he's freaked out and nothing's even turned on yet. He gave me a strange look, like he was sizing me up, and for half a moment I thought he was going to try something. But instead he responded, "No, I just thought you were open now." I explained to him that Fear Fair would reopen shortly after I finished my repairs. He nodded and walked past me out the entrance, without making eye contact with me again. I decided just to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he was just impatient and wanted to take a look at the maze. After I was done assembling the entryway, I took the sign down and started to prepare the maze. The scare actors arrived on time and took their positions. But there wasn't very much business that night. The grounds were all soaked from the rain, and we probably had more employees and guests wandering around the attraction. Shortly after 9 p.m., I was getting ready to close the maze for the night, as it looked like it was going to start raining again. That's when one of the actors walked up to me and took me aside.
Hey, I didn't want to say anything over the radio, but there's this guy with braids and a tank top back in the corridor behind the maze. I don't recognize him, and I don't know why he's there.
I immediately remembered the trespasser from before, and made my way to the back corridor.
I turned on all the back lights, and poked around any place I suspected would give an intruder enough room to hide.
I peeked out the back exit and shined my flashlight around, but I still didn't see anything. I locked the back door, and then walked through the maze instructing all the scare actors that they could leave. I turned off the fog machines and switched on the overhead lights, so I could get a better look around. It wasn't unusual for drunken guests to wander out of the boundaries, but if this was the same guy I had seen before, I was worried that he may be waiting, and just might be stalking one of the actors. It doesn't really calm your nerves wandering through an empty maze filled with horrific life-sized mannequins of demon clowns, trying to find someone who may or may not actually be there. Somehow being silent in there made it even worse, because then you start to question whether or not the faint sounds you do hear are from your own imagination. After another 15 minutes, I decided the maze was truly empty, and started shutting off everything behind me as I made my way back towards the entrance. Just as I had switched off another set of lights behind a hidden circuit board and was standing in the dark, I heard the footsteps coming loud and fast. I heard them coming from across the room, making a beeline towards me. In response, I turned on my flashlight and shone it in the direction of the footsteps, and saw that it was the same guy from before, charging right at me with a prop mallet. When my flashlight beam hit his face, he slowed down for a moment, stunned and blinded, and I took that opportunity to book it out of there. I knew the maze better than this guy did. I could navigate it well enough to keep ahead of him. Sure enough, I heard him cursing and bumping into things behind me as I ran. Once I exited through the opening of the maze, I waved down two security guys who covered the entrance until the police arrived. The local police were always on call nearby, in case a fight broke out or someone was injured. They went into the maze without hesitation, and emerged about 5 minutes later with the guy in cuffs. He had surrendered peacefully, and he almost looked as though he was relieved that the whole thing was over. The police informed me that this kind of thing was actually pretty common. As part of a local gang's initiation ritual, the new recruit must sneak into a park, find a weapon and a place to hide, and record themselves knocking somebody out, and then leave the park through the front gate like any other customer. That mallet may have only been a prop, but it was still made of wood, and had he brought it down on my head hard enough, it would have knocked me out cold. Had he not been so obvious with his attack, I would have never seen it coming. After they took my attacker away, the police swept the entire park and found two more young men hidden and waiting for an opportunity to strike someone. None of this ever made the local news. I suspect that the park didn't want that kind of publicity. Ever since then, I've made it mandatory that any employees wandering through the attractions have to travel in pairs.
There's always a reason.